3. Early Human Associations. In the most primitive society, the hoard is everything. Even children are its common property. The evolving family displaced the hoard in child rearing, while the emerging clans and tribes took its place as the social unit. Sex, hunger, and mother love establish the family, but real government does not appear until superfamily groups have begun to form. In the pre-family days of the hoard, leadership was provided by informally chosen individuals. The African bushmen have never progressed beyond this primitive stage. They do not have chiefs in the hoard. Families became united by blood ties and clans, aggregations of kinsmen, and these subsequently evolved into tribes, territorial communities. Warfare and external pressure forced the tribal organization upon the kinship clans, but it was commerce and trade that held these early and primitive groups together with some degree of internal peace. The Peace of Urantia will be promoted far more by international trade organizations than by all the sentimental sophistry of visionary peace planning. Trade relations have been facilitated by development of language and by improved methods of communication, as well as by better transportation. The absence of a common language has always impeded the growth of peace groups, but money has become the universal language of modern trade. Modern society is largely held together by the industrial market. The gain motive is a mighty civilizer when augmented by the desire to serve. In the early ages, each tribe was surrounded by concentric circles of increasing fear and suspicion. Hence it was once the custom to kill all strangers, later on to enslave them. The old idea of friendship meant adoption into the clan, and clan membership was believed to survive death, one of the earliest concepts of eternal life. The ceremony of adoption consisted in drinking each other's blood. In some groups, saliva was exchanged in the place of blood drinking, this being the ancient origin of the practice of social kissing. And all ceremonies of association, whether marriage or adoption, were always terminated by feasting. In later times, blood diluted with red wine was used, and eventually wine alone was drunk to seal the adoption ceremony, which was signified in the touching of the wine cups and consummated by the swallowing of the beverage. The Hebrews employed a modified form of this adoption ceremony. Their Arab ancestors made use of the oath taken while the hand of the candidate rested upon the generative organ of the tribal native. The Hebrews treated adopted aliens kindly and fraternally. The stranger that dwells with you shall be as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. Guest friendship was a relation of temporary hospitality. When visiting guests departed, a dish would be broken in half, one piece being given the departing friend, so that it would serve as a suitable introduction for a third party who might arrive on a later visit. It was customary for guests to pay their way by telling tales of their travels and adventures. The storytellers of olden times became so popular that the mores eventually forbade their functioning during either the hunting or harvest seasons. The first treaties of peace were the blood bonds. The peace ambassadors of two warring tribes would meet, pay their respects, and then proceed to prick the skin until it bled, whereupon they would suck each other's blood and declare peace. The earliest peace missions consisted of delegations of men bringing their choice maidens for the sex gratification of their one-time enemies, the sex appetite being utilized in combating the war urge. The tribe so honored would pay a return visit with its offering of maidens, whereupon peace would be firmly established, and soon intermarriages between the families of the chiefs were sanctioned.